good afternoon to you. I am Adam Gold, and welcome inside PNC Arena, where tonight the Hurricanes take on the New Jersey Devils, and it is game one, Eastern Conference semifinal series. We already had the other Eastern Conference semifinal begin in Toronto, where the Florida Panthers continue doing what the Florida Panthers have been doing of late, which was, well, whatever. I don't care what you say. We're going to figure out a way to win a game. Panthers have now won four in a row. They won three straight to eliminate the Bruins. They took game one in Toronto last night. Better team, pretty much start to finish. And by the way, Seattle did the same thing in Dallas as they continue their winning ways. What does home ice advantage mean in the NHL playoffs? Absolutely nothing. Hopefully it will mean something tonight to Carolina. It's really one of the places where the home ice advantage has mattered in the playoffs, albeit very short sample size. The Hurricanes have only played three playoff games so far here at PNC Arena. They won two, lost the last one, so we'll see how it goes. But this, and we talked about this yesterday, this is the playoff rivalry. I know Boston has been the nouveau riche rivalry because it has been so recent, but the truth is that I realized last year's series went seven games, but I mean, Carolina was the better team than Boston. The only real contested series was all the way back in 2009. The Canes and the Devils, man, these two teams have playoff history. 2001, Scott Stevens knocking out Ron Francis. 2002, the Kevin Weeks save as the Hurricanes surprised the New Jersey Devils. Even though Carolina had home ice advantage, I believe they qualified either with the seventh or eighth best record in the conference. They just happened to win the Southeast Division, so they ended up with home ice throughout the playoffs on the eastern side until they got to the Stanley Cup Finals, which they did against the Detroit Red Wings. But they were a decided underdog against New Jersey and upset them. And then the 2006, you know, Carolina was, I mean, they actually were not the best team in the East. I don't know how people know this. I believe they were the two seed to Ottawa. But obviously Carolina was great and the Devils weren't as good, but there were still some interesting moments in that series. And then 2009 gives us the shock at the Rock. So this is the playoff rivalry that the Carolina Hurricanes really cultivated with the Devils, and it has not been anywhere for the last 13 years because the Devils haven't really done much of late. Since 2012, the Devils have only made the playoffs once, and that was in 2018. They were a one-and-done in the playoffs. But this Devils team is absolutely for real. We've used this phrase before. Sometimes you don't know when it's your time. I think the Devils understand that it could be their time. And maybe that's why they went out and got Timo Meier at the deadline. No idea. And remember, Carolina was heavily in the mix for Timo Meier as well. But this should be an absolute fun series. The Devils are an exciting team to watch. And it's going to take everything Carolina has to kind of slow them down just a little bit. So we got a lot of things to do today. We're going to talk NBA basketball because the two playoff games last night were great. Also, there's a ton of NFL news to get to. But before we start any of that, Nick Stevens, our guy, managing editor, highschoolot.com. He joined us yesterday because the High School Athletic Association was discussing recommending NIL being okay for high school athletes, and I know the they recommended it yesterday. So, Nick, where do we stand today? When is the vote? Will it be a unanimous passing of that vote?
By a 15-3 vote, NIL for high school athletes will be legal in North Carolina starting on July 1 of this year.
15-3. Who dissented?
Well, that's a good question that we don't know the answer to yet, because the meeting that we're able to view is audio only, and they don't vote by voice. So we won't actually know that unless they share it with us in the press conference in a few minutes, or until the minutes are released publicly from the meeting. So, you know, there were a few people who were raising some concerns about whether or not there was enough educational material available about this and those types of things. But it was pretty clear, I thought, yesterday, just from the wording of how things were being put together, that this was likely to pass, and it has.
All right, and you and I talked yesterday, and Nick Stevens from HighSchoolOT.com, managing editor, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. We talked about what parameters there might be. We used the term guardrails. They want to protect no alcohol, no tobacco, no adult entertainment issues. I'm assuming that all of that is still in the bill. But were there any changes made, any alterations?
They have not shared any major changes. My understanding is that there were a few tweaks to like editorial tweaks of how things might have been worded, but nothing that was real material has changed in any of that. And those types of things that you just mentioned are still not going to be allowed. And the process
right.
itself is pretty much the same.
Yeah, no, I think no guns or ammunition as well.
Yep.
No vaping products or anything. No cannabis. Did they draw the line on hemp products?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that either. Maybe I should ask that in the press conference. that one wasn't specifically listed. I honestly think, and you may share this opinion, I'll let you express that, but most of those things, those types of companies and whatnot, are not going to be reaching out to high school kids for NIL deals anyway. So
I said the same thing. I said the same thing back in the college NIL debate.
Yeah,
who's doing that? Nobody's doing that.
Yeah. I just don't foresee that being a huge problem.
Yeah. All right, Nick, say a couple of other things, because I know there's more on the agenda, not just this today, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this before I let you run to monitor the meeting. So the bill goes into effect on July 1 for people, and these kids can appear at camps and do all that stuff as of July 1 with, other than those companies, those industries, no restrictions, correct?
Correct.
All right. Final Four of basketball. Did they agree on that? Did I see that correctly?
That did. That passed unanimously. So starting next year, we will change the basketball playoff format, and we will have a Final Four format for the semifinals and the finals. All of those games will take place at one location. That location is not set yet, but you'll have the semifinals played Monday through Thursday. So you may have, they haven't set the schedule, but just
right.
for an example, you may have 1A on Monday and 3A on Tuesday and 2A on Wednesday and 4A on Thursday. Games would be all throughout the day, and then you would have the state championships on Friday and Saturday. This is how a lot of states do it in our region here in the Southeast and really across the country. And this is something that a lot of basketball coaches have really wanted for a long time. So they are moving to that model, and I think it's going to be good for high school basketball in North Carolina.
Sounds like fun to me.
Absolutely.
Also, I wonder, is there a money-making opportunity here for the North Carolina High School Athletic Association to, say Charlotte and Raleigh want to bid on the Final Four? Or do you just rotate it? I know they use the local, up here, the Triangle venues, as much as possible, but do we see it like that?
Well, I mean, they have to go to a place where they're wanted. And where there's infrastructure in place. So, that's why the Greater Raleigh Sports Alliance, they are really involved in that. Anytime that there's an NCHSA event here. So you have to have organizations like that are willing to be part of bringing events here. Raleigh is one that is very active in that. So, I don't know. I don't know if PNC Arena would be an option given the timing of the year there with the Hurricanes and college basketball. But, I think the Dean Dome is an obvious thing to look at because that's where they host state championships now, at least some of them. I don't think Reynolds is quite big enough. I think they've got options. I think they'll probably look at the Greensboro Coliseum. Obviously, ACC tournament's not there next year. Wouldn't surprise me if they look at some locations in Charlotte. But I think it's safe to say it's going to be at one of those big arenas, because that's kind of the whole purpose in moving this direction.
Is Cameron also not big enough with 9,300 seats?
I don't think they would. I think they would have sold that out in a few games this year.
Okay. But yeah. Good. I'm glad there's that kind of interest. Very quickly, shot clock, 35 seconds. Are we going to that in high school basketball?
We are not going to that right now. They're going to create a committee to study, you know, the impact financially on the schools, how it might impact
right.
playoffs, that kind of stuff. I suspect we will revisit this in the winter board meeting in December. And it wouldn't surprise me if it gets passed at that meeting for 2024-2025.
All right, final thing for Nick Stevens, and how long you go on this is entirely up to you, because I know you have to go. But the charters, and there's a lot of charters. My son goes to he'll be going to a charter high school more than likely next year, and some privates. Did I see that they're going to take almost regardless of size, that they're going to push them into the higher classifications among the high school athletic association?
You did see that. Well, at least that's the proposal in the charter omnibus bill in the House right now. An amendment was made yesterday that would say charter schools have to, and the private schools like Cardinal Gibbons and
right.
there's four of them in the state association, but they would have to identify where their students would go to school if they were in a traditional public school. And wherever the majority of those students would have gone, that is the classification that charter school would be in. So we're actually running some models on what this would look like.
Okay.
We're hoping to have that published later today or tomorrow on High School OT. J. Mike Blake is doing a lot of work on that. And it's pretty astonishing. J. Mike sent me some stuff. You know, when we go to seven classifications, which is supposed to happen in 2 years, Green Level High School in Cary would be 6A under this plan, while South Wake Academy would be 7A. So you're going to have this really small charter school in 7A against, and Green Level will be 6A. And Wake Prep just joined the NCHSA, or will join the NCHSA later this year. They play football. They pull from an area around Wake Forest.
Yep.
So it's possible they could be playing high school football with a small charter school against teams like Wake Forest and Heritage and Rollsville, who are large schools in North Carolina, who two of them have played for, one of them has won multiple state championships. You know, you're talking about a potential health and safety issue there.
Yes, you are.
So I don't think this was well thought through in some instances. You know, and you can go read this on High School OT now, but we also went through some of what was said in that committee hearing yesterday, and they specifically pointed out Christ the King, which is a 1A high school, a parochial school in Cabarrus County. They beat Rosewood High School, a traditional 1A public school, in the boys soccer state championship last fall. And they said that Christ the King was a private boarding school bringing in players from across the world to play there. And that's just patently false. They are not a boarding school. Boarding schools are not allowed to be members of the NCHSA. We're working on confirming this, but my understanding is that they don't have international students either. So, you know, and if they do, they have to abide by the same eligibility rules that all NCHSA international students would have to. So, you know, I think that there's more work that needs to be done on this. I think a lot of people agree, charter schools included, that this is an issue that does need to be tackled in terms of leveling the playing field. But I don't think that this is the way that a lot of the schools would like to see that done.
Nick Stevens, managing editor, highschoolot.com. Thank you very much for your time, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, real quick before we hit out of the gate, Nick actually mentioned a school there that my son is right now scheduled to attend. And it does seem incredibly, like, what are people scared of in high school athletics? I guess they're scared of recruiting. We already have rules against recruiting. But it does seem incredibly unfair. Just why can't you just do it by enrollment? Why does it have to be other? I mean, Do we really think? I guess maybe it's happened before in the past, and we're terrified. Do we really think that we'll just use the wake prep instance? Do we really think that they're telling all the best players who would otherwise go to Wake Forest or Roseville that, you know, you come here? Really? Is that what we're – because that's already against the rules. Never mind. People are terrified about the wrong things. And people care too much about winning in high school sports for my taste. All right, we have time to get some stuff done. Let's get out of the gate. They're off. By the way, I have not mentioned this yet. We have Graham. Graham's on the ones and twos today, right, Graham?
Yes, I am. Happy to be here, Adam. A lot of moving parts back here at the ranch.
Oh, I know. So, yes, there are moving parts out here as well. All right. The history was made in San Francisco last night. The Lakers held off a very, very late charge by the Warriors, but LA claims game one of their Western Conference semifinal series. Warriors got off to a great start. Klay Thompson was on fire, and then it all just fizzled out. From that point on, the Lakers were dominant. Actually, I might have to amend that. It could just be that Anthony Davis was that guy. 30 points, 23 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 blocks, or 4 assists and 5, I don't know. Crazy. He had a monster game, and if he's going to do that, then this could be a quick series with Golden State. Here's Darvin Ham, the head coach of the Lakers, on his big man's historic night.
You're talking about top 75 players, some of the best players that our league or basketball in general has ever saw in its history. And so, again, that's what we expect of him. We know that's what he's capable of. You know, it's great. We needed every bit of all those points and rebounds and block shots. And assist as well. So the biggest thing for us is, again, not to get happy, stay humble, respect our opponent, but also know that there's a ton of work left to be done. And it's not the first to one. It's not the first with the greatest performance individually. We just got to keep stacking days, keep coming out, putting our best foot forward.
What the Lakers have, I think, is the ability to not need great nights from everyone, because they didn't get great nights from everyone, including one Mr. LeBron James, who was good. He just wasn't great. He didn't have to be great. He could rely on Davis or other players to be great. The Warriors didn't play their best game either. We'll get to them in a second, but here's what Darvin Ham was referencing, talking about top 75 players of all time. So it was only the fifth time in Lakers history that a player went for at least 30 points and at least 20 rebounds in a playoff game. And here are the other four names: Shaquille O'Neal, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Elgin Baylor. LeBron James said that's why Davis's name and number is going to go into the rafters at some point. Maybe. I'm not even having this discussion at this point, but for the better part of really Anthony Davis's entire time with the Lakers, we've seen flashes of this guy. But suddenly, we know it's in there. It's been in there for Anthony Davis for a while. Davis has seemed to become this guy. So if he becomes the Lakers' best player, and you've got LeBron as the number two, man, that is a tough nut to crack. I said before the series, even though I picked the Warriors before the playoffs started, the way the Lakers played against the Memphis Grizzlies, yes, Grizzlies didn't have a fully operational Ja Morant, but the way the Lakers played in that series was eye-opening to me. The Lakers didn't even get much out of Rui Hachimura. They didn't get great performances from, Austin Reeves only had 10. There's another gear. There's another level for L.A. to take it. As for the Warriors, wasn't their best. Here from Kendrick Perkins on what they need to do differently in game two.
I think he have no choice but to go small and try to push the pace.
Right.
Because if he stay with that two big lineup in Draymond Green and Kevon Looney, that's better for the Lakers. That's going to give them an opportunity to load up. That's going to give them a better chance of getting back in transition. And they are too long and athletic across their front line when you think about Jared Vanderbilt, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James to play two bigs. So they're not going to stop them on the offensive end. So what he's going to have to do is try to push the pace, something like what the Kings tried to do to Golden State.
Already making adjustments in the second game of a conference series. So, look, I think, and I said this before we even saw game one, man, the Warriors are going to have to get really, really good offensive performances out of Klay. Steph has to be there, and they need something out of Andrew Wiggins. And Jordan Poole played a good game, played a very good game and an efficient game for him. So they need all of that to have a chance in this series. Their margin for error is not as wide as the Lakers. As for the other series in the NBA, Miami did not have Jimmy Butler, but man, they had the lead late into the third quarter, but ultimately the Knicks had too much Jalen Brunson and too much Josh Hart. I thought the Knicks really gutted this one out. Here's their guard, Jalen Brunson.
I think we made just a couple more plays at the end of the game. You got to give them credit. They kept fighting. What they were doing all game, just it's hard to guard. And we just had to do a better job of it throughout the entire game. But towards the end, we made a couple more plays than they did and came in with the win.
Yeah, I think the Knicks also off the bench got a great performance out of Hartenstein. And he didn't go for big numbers, but Mitchell Robinson picked up two fouls early, like in the first 5 minutes, six minutes of the game, and he had to go to the bench. And Hartenstein just gave him a chance. He only had 3 points, but he had nine boards. Robinson only played 21 minutes in the game. Julius Randle had a big game, but Josh Hart had so many big shots. Brunson had 30, but Hart had so many big shots in the fourth quarter. Good game also for R.J. Barrett, who got off to a great start in the game, and he had 24 points. So the Knicks even their series with the Heat, and that's going to be a long series. Still like Miami in that series. So the just fun. It was fun. It's kind of old school basketball, I think. There is a, not an animosity, but Knicks and Heat, man, they go back. They have beef. They have beef with one another. It's been a long time. Speaking of beef, I don't frankly know if this really qualifies, but the Hurricanes are going to welcome back an old friend tonight for the third straight year in the playoffs. Eric Halla is coming back to PNC Arena to play a playoff game. He was with Nashville 2 years ago in the Pandemic Central. He was with Boston last year, and he's with the New Jersey Devils. Jordan Martinook, Hurricanes alternate captain, on whether or not the fans should, will, boo Eric Halla.
He's had a good year for them. He had a good first round, and obviously he's playing a big role in Jersey, so we're going to have to key in on him. And if our fans do what they did last year, then all the power to them. We're just trying to win.
I mean, you should boo guys like that. I'm not saying that Eric Halla is not a good player, or if you think of him as a villain. He's the opposition. That's fine. I mean, you're not don't throw anything at him. But yeah, it's cool. Boo Eric Halla. That's what we're here for.